Moncrief on News Talk.
Our first guest is one of the stars of the film Four Mothers, will soon be getting a roast in the Abbey Theatre to celebrate 10 years of marriage equality, and his new show is called Riot, a self-proclaimed national effing treasure. He is Panty Bliss, known to the revenue as Rory O'Neill. Rory, good afternoon.
Can I just say here, shout out to Orla, because I'm from Vets family. My dad was a large animal, you know, practice in the wilds of County Mayo. I grew up, you know, exactly like that, pulling things out of large animals in the middle of the night.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And did it, like, but like, were you allowed to do that?
Yes,
qualifications?
A lot of sheep in Mayo, so during lambing season,
yeah,
you know, and every now and then a yo be yeaning, and there'd be an issue or a problem. And all hours of the night, they'd come into our house, and you know, it could be 4 a.m., but we would hear them arriving, and we loved, as kids, you know, helping Dad pull lambs out of sheep. And then through that, on a number of occasions, we had pet sheep as kids. My favourite of all of them was Susie Suffolk. I used to take her up to the supermarket on a lead, all of that. And that was because at 4 a.m., climbed out the window to help me Dad. And the yo, this particular yo, had had an accident with a barbed wire fence and only had one teat, and she had three lambs. And farmers don't like extra lambs because they don't like hand-rearing. So one of them was a black sheep. So I paid, well, my dad paid, you know, £5 or something for the sheep, and I kept it, and that was Susie Suffolk.
Right.
And so Orla would know all about this.
Right. What happened to Susie Suffolk eventually?
Well, my sister killed her.
Yeah.
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 The younger children went away with my parents to Betty's Town, where my granny was.
Is that considered exotic?
Yeah, it was. Absolutely, it was. Yeah. My granny lived like in one of those houses that, like, you had a little garden and you go down the garden, then three steps, and you're on the sand, like on the beach, Neptune Terrace. Like, so as kids, you know, we loved it. But by the time we got back from 2 weeks in granny's, my older sister had put Susie outside.
Oh no!
And then she developed a cough,
and I
ignored it, Sean. I shouldn't have ignored it.
Yeah,
but I ignored it. And then one day there was a knock on the door, and I opened it, and there's this young traveller lad there, and he says, "You better come out. Susie Suffolk is lying down inside the wall, and I'd say it's dead she is."
Oh, God.
And he was right.
Oh, no.
She was
all right, dead. Okay. So, but your intention was to keep Susie as a pet and not like dinner time types.
Yeah. Now, there are all sorts of family, you know, mysteries, you know, because we had others. There was Flopsy and a few others. And we were always told eventually, oh, you know, she's gone off to live in a farm. You know, and now, whether or not, and there are rumours in the family that we might have ate Flopsy for Easter lunch.
Yeah.
But, you know, my parents have always dodged the question or whatever. But, yeah.
Mm.
And sorry, we weren't meant to be talking about this
at all.
One other thing that's interesting to me. So when we were kids, my dad's practice is very popular with student vets because, you know, a bit of mountains, bit of all sorts of animals, whatever. And there was always male student vets. And I remember the first time a lady student vet came, and we were like, wow, this blew our minds. Women can be vets. And now all the vets are ladies. And Orla, I can't see what age you are from here, but you were probably one of the early... Yeah.
You wouldn't have been in dodgy surgery there.
No offense, I really can't see from here, so you might be 28. Like,
but Riot, your show, isn't that about...
Oh, no, it's not my show now. Yeah, okay. It's a big group show.
Okay, yeah. But did the first Pride March in Mayo, when was that? It was only 2 years ago.
It was. Now, are you bringing up the incident?
Yeah.
The first Pride March ever in Mayo was 2 years, or maybe 3 years ago now. About 2 years ago. And it was in Westport. Although I often think, is Westport really in Mayo? I think of it sort of
a bit too fancy for me.
Well, I think of it as sort of a middle-class enclave surrounded by Mayo.
Yeah.
But it was in Westport, and it was absolutely gorgeous, lovely little parade, weather was beautiful, half the town were in the parade, and the other half were sort of waving us by. But then at the end of the parade, there was a little party down by the sea, and it was all sort of gorgeous. But there was a drag queen story time scheduled to happen at... Tertullia Books, which is very nearby, and a group of, fascists, let's call them, turned up and were outside the bookshop, you know, intimidating everybody and trying to make a big scene. And actually, my own show that I still run around with, that's a big part of it, because it made me stop and think, actually, you know, I think after the marriage referendum, I was very optimistic about everything. I thought, oh, this is kind of a done project. And it turns out it's absolutely not a done project. And there's been a big sort of pushback against all of these sort of progressive ideas.
Yeah.
And including sort of a pushback against the queer community. And that day really sort of solidified for me, God, right, I'm going to have to put my boots on again, because, yeah, it's not all.
Yeah.
It's not all.
But those people, though, were they from Westport? Or
well, I would say they were from the environs.
Right,
like,
okay.
Yeah, they were local.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they did not include the famous Mayo family that you might be thinking of,
yes,
by the way.
Yeah.
who love me, as you can imagine.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
but some other well-known, you know, anti-everything types, yeah.
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 Oh, gosh. Because that's... Because in our, you know... I don't know what the population Westport is maybe 10,000, something like that, but it's like, well,
I'll go along with that.
Maybe smaller than that, but like you'd people that know who you were.
It's
no longer a kind of a, you're in your mother's basement spewing out hated people. They're being seen in the light of day.
Yeah, they weren't all ashamed. They were proud of themselves. Yeah.
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 Did they give any indication what exactly their objection was? Is there a rush of 9-year-old boys in national school in Westport suddenly coming in dressed as girls?
No. but they're trying to imply that there's something nefarious going on. Like, one of them screamed at me, sort of the leader of the group. He sort of... Because there was lots of, like, teenagers and that. Because it was a lovely summer's day and there'd been a parade and whatever. And so there's lots of kind of teenagers around. And he screamed into my face, "Do you have Garda clearance to speak to these 15-year-olds? You know, implying that there was something nefarious going on. And... watch me language here.
Yeah,
I said,
no, your reply was priceless.
I have Garda clearance to tell you to go yourself. And fair play, actually, to fair play to Westport Pride, because, like, within 8 hours, they had a web, you know, on their website, they were selling T-shirts and tote bags that said, "I have Garda clearance to tell you to go F yourself."
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the Mayo people, they're very wily.
Yeah, and they can see a business opportunity as well, a drop of a hat. So, I mean, the roast then is to kind of celebrate 10 years of marriage equality. Is it a celebration entirely or?
My feeling is that I was very naive 10 years ago, and I thought the day after the referendum, like, I was so optimistic, I thought, this is all done, and I actually felt really incredible, because, you know, the day before the referendum, you know, if you'd asked me, I would have said, oh, well, tomorrow nothing will be different, just, you know, gay people can get married.
Mm.
But actually, the next day, I felt it was more than that. You know, before the referendum, I suspected that most Irish people were okay with, you know, the gay community. I certainly hoped that they were, but I didn't know that
yes.
they were.
Yeah.
And it turns out that knowing is really powerful. You know, there's a sort of a security in knowing that merely hoping doesn't provide. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I felt so good after the referendum. And I think, you know, walking around Dublin immediately after, gay couples holding
hands was amazing.
And you know, in a way that you just didn't previously. Mm. Because I think everybody felt that sort of comfort in knowing, you know. But things change, and things can change quite rapidly. And then I think around the world there's been this pushback against sort of every sort of progressive step forward. And I think I'm feeling that very much at the moment. And actually, your researcher was asking me, and it sort of made me think of something. You know, 10 years ago, even 20 years ago, I would be running around this city in drag late at night, going from one gig to the next or whatever. I'd be running out in the street and grabbing taxis. If it was close, I'd be running down the pavement. And sure, I wasn't an idiot. I was aware that sometimes things can happen. But the reaction in general was always kind of jokey, fun, because people get it, you know? Whereas now, I don't think many drag queens, and there's so many more nowadays, we don't actually feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Because there's a more overt pushback against it, and I would be more worried now than I would have been even 20 years ago. Because there's a certain group of people who have tried to stir up this kind of, well, open hatred, you know, about it, you know, more than it was in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. But are they succeeding, or are they just stirring up the hatred among themselves?
I mean, I think in general, most people are still pretty relaxed, but they've certainly succeeded in making it more acceptable for some people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the fact that we feel more of a threat now than we did 15 years ago, you know, I'm sure they're delighted about that.
They probably are, but they may feel that way because they think that you're winning.
Oh,
that
no,
the people who supported it are
sure.
Winning. Yeah.
Sure. No, that's why the pushback is because they felt that we were winning.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, yeah, the fact is, I think we feel less safe at the minute. Yeah.
Yeah. At the roast, like, is that like a load of people just come on and slide the shit out?
Well, now it's a fundraiser for Gay Community News, our local sort of online, you know, gay press or whatever you want to call it, which I think is one of the longest running.
That's been on the ball for decades. Yeah.
Newspapers in the world or something, like, it's pretty remarkable. But anyway, they're always looking for money. They're always stuck. So it's a fundraiser for them, and it's on in the Abbey. And yes, basically, there'll be 10 people. Everyone from Linda Martin to...
She's a tongue-in-her, that one. No. She has.
And they'll just be saying horrible things about me.
Yeah.
But hopefully funny horrible things.
Yeah, okay. Well, are there any particular individuals you're worried about?
Linda Martin.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch that one.
I'm always worried about Linda Martin.
Well, hopes and prayers on that particular night, Rory. Thanks a million for coming into Dog Talks. Rory O'Neill there. Folks.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.